All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalms chapter 1. We're going to read through the whole chapter, that whole chapter there, like what's the six whole verses in that thing, and then we'll open a word of prayer, okay? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit, in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Father God, we just pray, Lord, you be with us tonight. I pray that you would just have your hand upon the word. I pray that you would just speak through what I have to say tonight, Lord. And I pray that you may be lifted up, honored, and glorified in all that is said tonight. Pray, Lord, that you'd be with those that have been ill. I pray that you would just give them healing and strength. Be with the pastor as he is on his military week this week, Lord. And I pray that you would just put your hand upon him and bless the work that's being done through him, Father. And we just thank you for the grace you've given to us, for your love and mercy, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know that one thing, when we came and we had the nominating committee, and we talked to Brother Christian about his military service. I talked to a friend of mine who also did, he was a chaplain. And he said something to me that I hadn't looked at it before, that mission field isn't just a foreign country. The mission field is you know, when we also say that it's your door next door, it's the people down the street. And the mission field is also the men and women that are in our military. And if anybody needs an encouragement, these people do for the things that they have to go through when they're overseas and when they come back and have to deal with it. We had, and he said that's the greatest thing that you can have right there, because you are now supporting another type of mission field. You're supporting these men and women in the military as missionary. You have a missionary speaking and dealing and helping these people. And one thing they said that always stuck with me when their son had gone over seas, he said, "We don't only pray for their safety. We pray for their mind, because it's the mind that so much gets damaged a lot when they're overseas and the experiences that they're having. And so we pray that God will protect their mind. So when they come back in a right mind, you know, because so many times that shell shock, they call it all these different things nowadays, but can really get to them. So it's just a little footnote that I wanted to throw in there, because it popped in my head when I was talking about that. So keep them in your prayers. Keep them in your prayers as he is there helping and dealing. All right, so this tonight is called When Delight Overcomes Distraction. When delight overcomes distraction. Now, if we looked at the first two verses here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So Psalms number 1 presents two and only two ways to live. Two ways to live. Number one, the way of the world. And number two, the way of the word. The way of the world and the way of the word. Those who walk in the way of the wicked stand in the way of the sinners and sit in the seats of the scoffers, are simply people who are oriented around the world's values. This is the direction they want to be. They want to live, and they want to be part of the world's values. That's the people. That's what it means to stand in the way of the sinners. That's what it means to walk in the way of the wicked. That's what it means to sit at the seat of the scoffers. You know, these people are the ones that are what? They are mocking, right? They're mocking the way we're doing things, mocking the way other people are doing things. The way of the sinners, living a life in a way that's a sinful life. The wicked, well, you know, that's without saying, the wickedness of mankind. So this is the life that they value. And this is the wide and the easy gate of destruction is what this is. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says, "Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to what? Destruction. It leadeth to destruction. And many there be go in the in threat. I can't say the word tonight. Okay? So it's the way of destruction. The wide gate. And that's the easy way. And people want to take the easy way out. Right? It's the easiest one to go. If you, I always liked the story. Loretta wasn't ever fond of the story of Pilgrim's Progress. She always thought it was kind of boring. I always liked, but he talked, even in that story, he talked about the wide way or the narrow gate. Which way was he going to go? Are we going to go the wide gate, which is the way of destruction, or was he going to go the narrow way? And so this is what it is. This is the way of the wicked. This is the way that they want to go. So what do we need to be? Well, we need to be the tree, not the chaff. We need to be the tree, not the chaff. The wicked in Psalms 1 are those who seek independence from God. Those who seek independence from God, those who have only a human or earthly perspective on life, okay? Those who live according to the world's standards and not God's, okay? That's the wicked. And at times, this way of life appears to be success, acceptance, and prosperity. Okay, in Psalms chapter 73, now that's quite a few verses in there, and I when I was studying this, and I read through this a few times just to kind of get a footage on there. But the first half of Psalm 73, okay, he's talking about how it looked to him how well-off people were doing, the way the sinners were going, they seemed to be prosperous, they seemed to have everything seemed to be going for them, and, you know, he was just kind of thinking, I wish I could kind of be like that. In the second half, then he sees that, but their way is a way that's going to lead to destruction. If you have a chance sometime, read through the whole chapter 73 of Psalm. Because you could see where he goes from one and he progresses and into the way that the Lord God would have him go. And it's pretty interesting, but, you know, a little bit longer to go through some of that. So it appears, as seen in that area, it appears that the way of life and the world standard, it appears of it to be successful. And look at it today. Look at some of these people out there that are making all this money. And they're living the life of the devil, right? And here we have people that are Christians that seem to be struggling a lot, right? Or they're barely making it, maybe sometimes living paycheck to paycheck. But you have these heathen people from Hollywood or wherever they may be that they are having a luxurious life. It seems a way of acceptance. Okay, people accept the way, especially you see in our society today, it seems like it's the opposite of what it should be. Anything that's going the wrong way, people are thinking, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. And now, yeah, you know. Anything that's Christianity, anything that's it has to do with Christ, it's shunned away and pushed away these days. And prosperity. However, Psalms 1 helps us to see things in an ultimate perspective, okay? The prosperity of the wicked is fleeting. Prosperity of the wicked is fleeting, for they are like chaff blown away in the wind. You know what chaff is, right? When they have the wheat, and you can actually take the wheat and just kind of do this with the wheat, and all that stuff falls out. That's no good. It's just and there's just the wheat's left. That's the chaff. That's just the nothingness of the wheat. And it says that they're like the chaff that is blown away. So when they're doing this and the breeze comes along, what's happening? It's just going flying in the wind. Especially if you were out there doing it like yesterday. If you were out there doing it yesterday, I don't know if anybody was outside yesterday in the wind, but I had to be out there for a little while, and if you have anything like that, it's just going to, it's kind of like mowing the lawn in the wind. You're trying to blow the stuff to go back into the grass, but it's wanting to go this way. It's the same thing. So the wickedness of man, it's fleeting, it says. And it says it's like the chaff that's blown away in the wind. Alternative is a life of independent delight in divine instruction. That's the alternative. We can live a life and go with what the world wants to do and try to live hog wild in that and do whatever they want to do, but that life's going to fleet away. Or we can live a dependent delight in divine instruction. The righteous recognize the property of the world's wisdom and the value, and so ornate their lives around God's revealed word. If we look at this and we see the different way. The world's have their own ways, but the Word gives us what? God's values, right? It reveals God's values in the Word. This is the life of faith. If we go to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. It says, for he shall be as a tree, sounds familiar, planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see the heat cometh, for her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in any year of drought, neither shall cease from the yielding. So in verse number 7, what it leads it off, says, blessed what? Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. Why? Because he is like that tree. He is like the tree planted by the water. We've seen plenty of songs or hymns that have that in it, and this is where it comes from, guys. That's one thing What I always like about hymns, and I will always do hymns, because hymns are doctrine. Hymns are doctrine. And they teach us biblical truths and biblical standards. And this is one thing it is here, because we're like the tree. And in fact, a choir did a piece like that on this piece. And we used that. It's like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in the season, and its leaf shall not wither. Okay? So this, like I said, this life of faith, and as we've seen also in Jeremiah, that leads to blessing, fruitfulness, and fellowship with God now and forever. Now and forever. Think a beautiful, sturdy, well-watered fruit tree. Be the fruit tree, not the chaff. You want to be the fruit tree, not the staff. So we need sustained thought and heartfelt response. A sustained heartfelt response is what we want. Verse number 2, which is the key verse in this chapter. Verse number 2, which is the key verses in this chapter. But he delights in the law of the Lord, right? He delights in the law of the Lord. And what does he do? He meditates day and night. Notice the progression here. First, he delights, then meditates. He delights in the word, and then he meditates on the word. Delight is a response of the heart to a beauty or value of something or someone. That's what delight is. In this case, the delight is in God's word. His delight is in the word. But meditation involves careful, sustained thought. Okay? We have a delight. When we read the word, we delight in it, which leads us to that meditation. And the meditation involves a little bit more careful, sustained thought. It works. It takes work, and it also involves a will. It takes word. So in other words, we can delight in the word and listen to the word and delight in it. But what are we doing with the meditation part? It takes work. We just can't say, okay, and just sit back and try to let it come to us. We have to do our part, in other words. Meditation done well should serve, strengthen, and sustain the delight. Okay? So we have that delight. We have that delight. But what is it? The meditation, again, when it's done well, when it's done right, should serve, strengthen, and sustain the delight. What does that mean? That means that delight will even be stronger, right? It will hold on to that delight. That delight we can hold and it will strengthen that delight. And we have even a stronger delight when we hear the word of God spoken. Meditation allows the word to penetrate our minds, our hearts, our will more deeply, is what it does. It takes in, when we meditate on it, we're taking it more deeply into our minds and our thoughts and our hearts, is what we're doing. Through meditation, we are transformed by the renewal of our mind, by the renewing of our mind. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2 says, be not what? Conformed to this world. But what does it say? Be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. That's where the meditation comes. That's where it's bringing that back to you. Meditation sends out roots down deep, is what it does. We have the delight, we meditate on it, and what it is, it helps us grow, and it sends those roots down. Sets those roots down deep into the ground, taking in more and more of the life-giving water of the word, is what it's doing. It's like the tree, what? It's like that tree planted by the rivers of water. It's going in and it's digging down and digging down and digging down and digging down. So then we have cultivating meditation. Cultivating meditation. Our lives are unbelievably, distracted, right? California is one, I think, one of the most distracting places around. Okay, we've got the mountains, we've got the beaches, we've got Disneyland, we've got Knott's Berry Farm, we've got Magic Mountain, we've got things, anything that can distract us, right? We have our own busy lives that we leave that can distract us. That's why that was important, that message that Pastor Christian was talking about and is handing out to the superintendents and things. This message, you can also find this message on our website right now on the main page. There's a message on there. And it talks about how that we can be working too much, and this work, too much work, can be distracting us from what we really need to be doing. And so we live a distracted life. We are experts at multitasking, right? Surfing, not the beach, the net, and skimming. What is skimming? Just kind of going, do that a lot on Facebook. I just skim. If I see something I like, then I read it. You gotta get past the junk, you know? We're experts at these things. But it's harder than ever to meditate. It's harder to meditate. I can find myself sometimes, and I'm trying to look at something, and I'm trying to meditate on something, and something, you know, it's like squirrel. You know, and it can be hard because we live a life of distraction. So therefore, it's imperative to intentionally cultivate meditation on God's word. How? How do we do it? Well, if possible, find a consistent time, place, and a plan. Find a consistent time, place, and a plan. Then read slowly and carefully. Sometimes I find myself, if I really want to understand something, I slow down. Because like the old song says, slow down, you're going too fast, you got to make the moment last. You got to slow down. You slow down, read slowly and carefully, reread and reread. Read out loud, which is implied in the Hebrew word for meditation in Psalms chapter 1, verse 2. It's implied right there to read it out loud. That helps us meditate. Read prayerfully. Read with a pen in hand. I remember seeing, I think even my mom's Bible has all the writing all over it. My dad's Bible, I have one of my dad's Bibles, and it's writing all over it. Write, read it, read, and write down. Write, have a pencil or a pen in your hand. Memorize text that you read. Memorize it. Read with other people. Talk about what you see. You know, the easiest way to remember something that you do is to talk about it. When I can remember when I was in class in Bible, when I was in Bible college, some of my best classes were my accelerated classes. I loved my accelerated classes because we had 2 weeks of all just one class, 5 hours a day. We would go in to the class, have a lecture, we'd take a break, we'd all study together. We'd come back in, we'd have a test. After the test, we would lecture, and then we would have a study thing, then we were done. And each day was that way for 2 weeks. Some of my favorite classes. And the easiest way to ace a class, because you're sitting down there, you got this group of people, and you're just discussing it. You're discussing it. And it's surprising. It's the easiest way to remember things is to sit down and talk about it and discuss it. Study a book of the Bible with a good commentary. Sometimes I use the Matthew Henry commentary. Sometimes I use other different ones, but that Matthew Henry commentary is one of the most well-known out there. But just find a good commentary. I always also say get a good dictionary. I know people always talk about the words in the King James. And I always say just get a good dictionary. If you don't know what the word means, look it up. It'll tell you what it means. Even it's even easier today. Now I have an app with Bible app on my Bible that has the different words. You just push on the word and it tells you what it means. Oh yeah, and it also tells you the Greek and what the meaning in the Greek and things like that. And it's really nice. It's real easy these days. We had the our class in college, and our book was the Strong's Concordance. Did you ever have you had that book? My textbook was the Strong's Concordance. Anybody know what the Strong's Concordance looks like? It took up my whole briefcase, and that was my textbook. And we had to learn how to use the Strong's Concordance, a good way of studying. Pray about a plan for Bible meditation this year. Talk about your plan with a Christian friend. There's a way to do it. You pray about your plan, what you want to do, and talk about it with friends. That's what's nice. I coach, and I coach with a bunch of good Christian men, and we talk about Bible stuff all the time. It's really cool. It's really fun to do. Sometimes we don't agree on things, but you know what? You know what? They'll find out they're wrong when they get to heaven, right? So you need to lay hold on the blessing of Psalms chapter 1 as you delight in the beauty and the value of God's word and seek to sustain and strengthen the delight through intentional meditation. Intentional meditation on the word. And that's where we get in. That's how we delight. So what do we want to do? We want to be what? We want to be the tree, right? We don't want to be the chaff. Well, because what happens to those people that are the chaff? You get the Christian people, and they are the chaff. And they slowly just drift away, right? Because why? Because they're not being the tree. Like the tree that's planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth its fruit in its season. Okay? Let's pray.